I would have rather that we got here early in the morning and put on the Mother's Day brunch and honored them and prayed for them and had an opportunity to hear their stories as moms, what it is that makes them feel loved, what it is that makes you feel honored. I'm going to ask you to join me in believing that this global-wide exercise comes to an end quickly so that we can not only open up slowly, but open up quickly. And I just want to tell you that I believe that even as things begin opening, and in Canada here, they're beginning to open, in Alberta, they're beginning to open, those that are bound by a spirit of fear, even though things open, they will still be paranoid. That's what the spirit of fear does. They are still going to distance. That's what the spirit of fear does. But I want to say to you, those of us who are covered by the blood, those of us who walk by faith, those of us who live with our feet above the storm and not under it, I want to encourage you, as things open up, get out there. Like children on a playground, I encourage you to go right to the fence and push against it. I believe that our model, I believe that the peace that we have and the normalcy that we bring will be a powerful witness in the midst of all that is going on today. Let the Spirit of God use your freedom to make those who are in bondage to fear jealous. Let them look at us and go, "How come? Why aren't you afraid? Why do you have peace? Why are you sleeping at night? Why aren't you panicked that you're going to die?" Let them know. And I just want to say to you with all sincerity, I believe this is a time that we need to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. This is no time to compromise, no time to hold back. I want to tell you honestly, there may not be a lot of time. Not just because the church might be leaving in the near future, but I want to tell you that many of the people who are bound in fear, I'll be honest, they're seniors. And a lot of them are seniors who are compromised. They were compromised long before this began. And for many of them, the graduation is going to come sooner than later. And so I want to challenge you, honor them by being truthful. Honor them by not holding back. Honor them by loving them enough to speak into their life, to reach into their life while they're consumed with the present. Challenge them with their eternity. This is not a time to hold back, but a time to press forward. And I believe when Jesus made a statement and said, "The harvest field is ripe and white," it might be that a lot of those whose heads are white are the harvest field that God is wanting to bring in these days. This morning I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart for today on this Mother's Day. And that is what it means. What does it mean to truly honor? We all know the command that God gave to the Israelites, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then Jesus, when he was here on earth, he took the ten, he combined them into the two, and he said, "You will be honoring if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." The meaning was this. As a result of experiencing God's great love for us, we will come to the place where we actually love ourselves. And once we get to a place of loving ourselves, it's then that we will actually love the one who loved us. That's what every child does with a parent. When they feel loved, they begin to love the parent back. And after we begin loving God with this supernatural, perfect love, moving us to a place that flesh could never take us, it's at that point that God calls us to do what those of the world could never do: love your enemy, love those who persecute you, love those who wrongfully misuse you. And can I just say to you, I believe in the days we're living in and the days that are coming, when those of us who stand up for the truth, when those of us who stand up for Christ, when those of us who do not bow when everyone is bowing, for those of us who say, I'm not taking it when everyone is taking it, it's at that point we are going to have a greater love. A love demonstrated in the midst of them doing to us what they did to Jesus. Jesus said, pagans and carnal Christians, they can do certain things with flesh love. But to go all the way, we need to have a love that is the God kind of love. I want to tell you this morning, many of you are able to relate to me. In my life, I've had the privilege of traveling a little bit of the world. And it doesn't take very long to realize when you begin entering into different cultures that our culture, our North American culture, is not a culture of honor. The contrast becomes incredibly clear when you step into a culture where honor is incredibly evident. Honor is practiced. Honor is experienced. And when you come back to our own, you look and you go, there's no honor here. A number of years ago, a number of you had the opportunity to travel with me to go to Africa. Over the past number of years, we've gone two or three times doing mission work with the Gospel Lighthouse Church in Africa. And allowed God to be an incredible blessing. We thought we were going to be a blessing, but I'll tell you, we received a blessing back. But in the midst of all of that, place after place after place where we went, we had the opportunity to experience firsthand a culture of honor. From having people, the moment we get out of our vehicle, come and grab our Bible, grab our books, grab our overcoat and carry them to where we're going so that we didn't have to carry them, a statement of honor. Having been given jewelry that was handmade and clothing as a statement of, we love you, we're thankful for you, we want to honor you. Take this back with you so you don't forget. From being seated in a place of honor in the gatherings, walking past everyone from back to front and being seated in a place of honor. And then being waited on hand and foot throughout the duration of our stay. I want to tell you a really unique one. Being given a chicken, a live chicken, from those who don't have much, and yet, like the widow's mite, they gave what they had to express their honor, their gratitude, their appreciation, a chicken. I got to tell you, I wasn't able to bring it home. It wouldn't have handled the 14-day quarantine. But I want to tell you, we experienced honor. And I'm so blessed that a number of you who were a part of those trips are actually in here today. That kind of honor is foreign because it is not part of our culture. But I want to tell you, when you experience it, it affects you. It jars you. It awakens something inside of you that doesn't go to sleep even after you're gone. It allows you to taste what I believe is the heart of God for all of His children, all of His body. in the midst of this world that is all about loving self. It's all about me. To experience a part of the kingdom culture of loving and honoring one another. Powerful. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this, honor one another above yourself. I'll talk about that in a second. But what he's talking about is developing a culture of honor, not just one day. Not just a single day to honor mom and go, mom, I honor you today. But 365, living in a culture of honor. Before I share a few things that God laid in my heart, I want to share with you likely the most impacting experience of honor that I have ever known in my entire life. And I'm so thankful as I look out, some of you were there that day. And I believe you will not forget it like I did. It was on our last mission trip to Africa. We had just finished a three-day evangelistic campaign in one of the towns. On a Thursday and Friday and Saturday evening, we set up on the street and worshiped and preached and invited people to come to Christ. Sunday morning, we were in the church where, in the town, the church that had sponsored the evangelistic campaign, and when we got there, not only was the church already packed out, but outside the church there were people standing around who couldn't get into the church because the community had been impacted by that 3 days of evangelistic campaign. And they came to the church that morning to show a demonstration of what had happened. And so when we got there, as custom, we got out of the vehicle. People came individually. They met each of us. They took our Bibles. They took our briefcase. We were taken to the very front of the church. We were asked a seat in the seats of honor right in the very front. And we were part of the worship. Worship that was powerful. Prayer time that was powerful. They had a drama that morning. Some of you remember they had a drama at the front of the church that morning. Powerful. But the time came for me to be introduced and to come and share what the Lord had laid upon my heart. What they didn't know is that morning I had asked all of our team as the message to the church to come to the front and to share the testimony of their changed life. They didn't know that. And so up at the front as I was being introduced, right when the introduction was finished, right before I stood up and began to walk, two women from the congregation came running to the front, right in front of me, and they began taking blankets and they laid them on the floor in front of my feet, and they made a trail of blankets all the way up the stage, right behind the pulpit. They did not want my feet to touch the ground. And as they did this, I stood up, I began to walk on the blankets. The congregation stood and they began to clap. They began to cheer. They began to holler. And I got to tell you, when I got to the platform and I stood behind the pulpit, it didn't stop. But I need to say, as I stood there weeping, I had never experienced in my life that kind of honor, that kind of blessing. I want to tell you, the moment those women came and laid the blanket down and I got up and began to walk, what flooded me is when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and they laid their cloaks and they laid the palm branches so that his donkey would not touch the ground as a statement of honor. They had him ride along that trail of cloaks. As I walked along those blankets and as they were standing, I want to tell you, I experienced something in my life that changed me. It broke me inside. I have never known such honor. I have never experienced such appreciation. I have never experienced such respect. I got to tell you what it was like. It was like every person in the room came and got on their knees and washed my feet before I ever got to the pulpit. That's what it felt like. That day changed my life. That experience deposited something inside of me from the Father that I will never forget, and I'll tell you, I will take that into eternity. That day redefined honor in my life. But I want to tell you, honor is not something that we just express in a moment. The call of God on your and my life is that we as believers are to live a lifestyle. It is to be in our DNA. In everything we do, in every thought we have, in every action we take, God is wanting us to be a people who honor. And I want to tell you, in the midst of this world, where people are living with a selfish nature, we did at one time too. They were born with it. They're living with it. They're acting like it. They're treating other people like it. When they are working at building their kingdom at the expense of everyone else. When you and I, as believers, when we are living a culture of honor, putting others before us, raising them up instead of tearing them down, speaking well of them instead of ill of them, what a powerful witness that will be. And I believe as the days get darker, the light of honor inside of you and I will shine brighter. There's two things I want to give you quickly before I get into the rest of the message. The first is this. As we all know, this is the first commandment that is given with a promise. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land. Long life is promised with honoring. That means shortening of life is promised with dishonoring. And why is that? Let me tell you. It's because honoring one's parents is a statement that you are honoring God. God being the highest authority, your parents being an authority that God has put in place over, when we honor God, we honor our parents. And so to dishonor our parents is a statement of dishonoring God. And when that happens, the door is open for the enemy to come and shorten our life. Dishonoring opens the door to steal, to kill, and destroy. Let me tell you, dishonoring is as rebellion, which moves us out from under the umbrella of their authority and their protection and their blessing and makes us vulnerable to the enemy. I want to tell you, we could talk about that all day. Spiritually, you cannot see it, but physically, you can see the fruits of rebellion, the fruits of dishonor in the life of every young person who dishonors their parents. You can see it. And I want to tell you, the enemy comes because what he wants to do is rob what is meant to go from generation to generation, the blessing that is supposed to transfer from parent to child to child to child, and not just transfer, but to increase, to get stronger, to get bigger. The blessing of Abraham was bigger on Isaac. The blessing on Jacob was bigger than on Isaac. The blessing increased and increased and increased. In our culture today, The curse robs that. And the generations that come after experience more of the evidence of the curse than the blessing. The second thing is this. Jesus made a statement one time when his mothers and his brothers, they came to see him. He was teaching, it was too busy. They sent someone in and they said, "Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside." Do you remember what Jesus said? And I want to tell you, he said this respectfully. He made a statement and he said, "Who are my mothers and my brothers?" He said, "Those who believe in me, those are my mother, those are my brothers." That meant that the honor that was supposed to be to his mom, to his dad, to his family, that honor is to be extended to all of those who believe. Spilled out beyond. An honoring of one another, and as Paul says, an outdoing of one another in honoring. I don't want to get into today, but I would like to challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin planting inside of you to go, today, how can I outdo my spouse in honoring? How can I outdo my coworkers in honoring? How in every environment can I outdo the students in my classroom by honoring my teacher? How can I outdo anyone in my church from honoring my pastor? How can, doesn't matter where I'm at, how can I outdo people today in honoring my prime minister? Today I want to answer the question, how do we honor one another today? How do we honor our moms and our dads? How do we honor our brothers and sisters? How do we honor those in the family of God? How do we honor in a culture of dishonor? I want to give you a number of things. And if you have a pad of paper and a pen, I encourage you to write them down. I'm going to give you a few things, and after that, I'm going to have you look it up. I'm not going to go exhaustive today, but I encourage you to write it down. First one is this. Would you write down, pray for one another? Pray for one another. I could give you 40 verses this morning where the Bible talks about the call on our life to pray for one another. I just want you to think about this. We're going to get back into prayer again next week, but I would just like you to think really quickly in your prayer life, how much of your prayer life is about you and how much of your prayer life is about other people? I'm not giving you those 40 verses today, but I want you to think about this. When someone comes to me, and I am blessed to experience this often, when someone comes to me and they say, "Colin, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." Someone phones me up and they say, "Colin, just want you to know I'm praying for you." I go to visit someone in their home, and before we leave, they go, "I just want you to know you are on our prayer list, and my wife and I, we pray for you daily." I want you to know what that tells me. When someone prays for me, that tells me I matter to them. When someone prays for me, that tells me they're thinking of me. They're taking me to the Father. That means I'm important in their life. I want you to understand, when people pray for me, that is a statement they are honoring me. I want you to imagine this. Imagine someone coming up to you and going, "I just want you to know, I refuse to pray for you. I want you to know I'm not praying for you." How does that make you feel? Can I ask you a question? They might refuse to pray for you because they feel hurt, or they're offended, or they've got hatred towards you, or disdain, or they've rejected you, they don't love you, they don't honor you. Can I ask you this? If you went to your mother and said, "Mom, just want you to know I'm not praying for you." If you said to your siblings, "Just want you to know you're not on my prayer list." Let me ask you, honor or dishonor. When God calls us to pray for one another, when God calls us to take people into the courts of heaven and present them before the Lord, when God said, you pray for one another over and over, he is saying, I want you to honor that person. They may not even know it, but if you tell them, I'm praying for you, it'll be a statement of honor in their life. You have place in my heart. You have place in my prayer life. I am honoring you. I challenge you today to look at your prayer list and to find out how much honoring is going on in the lives of people in your world. I want to tell you, every Sunday when we take time and pray for the names in the jar, the unsaved in our world, we are honoring them by taking the time, warring for them for their eternity. And one day, I believe, they will come back, whether here or in heaven, and they will go, thank you for honoring me enough to secure my eternity. Pray for them. Pray for one another. A powerful statement of honor that if I was the enemy, I would do everything in my power to make sure that you do not pray for people. You may not say to them, I'm not praying for you, but in practice, you're not praying for them. That would be my goal. And let me tell you, I am more successful than I'd like to be. Pray for one another. Would you write down number two? Would you write down, speak well of others? Speak well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let me say that again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let me say that again. Believers, church, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only what is helpful and only what is building up. I want to tell you, we live in a day, and I wish it was only true of unbelievers, but I want to tell you it is true in the church, where the enemy has put a veil of deception over the minds of individuals, where they believe they can say anything about anybody at any time, and somehow there's no consequence to that. This false belief that said, I can run people down and not be affected by it. I can tear people up with my words and not be affected by it. That somehow I can speak death and there's no harvest in my life. I want to tell you what you know. The truth is, when we open our mouth, we open a door. And when we open our mouth and we speak ill and we speak negative, we open a door for the enemy to come and affect us negatively. And I tell you, I don't care who it is. When any child begins to speak negatively about their parents, the door is open for the enemy to affect their life, and their life is being cut short. When any person speaks ill of our leaders, and we think by speaking ill of them, we're running them down, we're putting them down. The reality is we're opening a door and the enemy is coming into our life and cutting it short. As an employee, every time we open our mouth ill toward our employer, ill toward our coworkers, ill toward the place where we work, we think we're running that place down. Let me tell you, we're opening the door for the enemy to hammer us. And let me tell you clearly, those of you who are married, every time you open your mouth and you speak ill of your spouse, whether in front of them or whether with the boys or whether at work, it doesn't matter where you are, every time you open your mouth and you speak ill about them, the door is open for the enemy to come and to hammer you. And there is a harvest. There is a harvest on every word we speak. And because God understands the spiritual realm and because He understands seed time and harvest, He said, do not let a single unwholesome thing come out of your mouth. Do not open your mouth and speak negative. Do not curse. Do not dishonor, because the harvest you do not want in your life. We know this. Believers, we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And as believers, we are called to honor. Can I encourage you? I ask the Holy Spirit every day, Holy Spirit, bridle my tongue. Holy Spirit, do not let a single thing come out of my mouth without first going through the filter of you. Like Jesus, let only what the Father would say flow from your lips regarding other people. We need to practice that. We need a revelation of how this works with our words. We need a revelation of how to honor in order for us to be blessed. This one specifically, I want to challenge you to study on your own. The power of words, the power of speaking blessing, the power of speaking well of others. Would you write down number 3? Would you write down, speak the truth in love? Speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says that. Would you also write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25? It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. I want to ask you a very dumb question, but because I'm asking it, I can do it. I want to ask you, if I were ever to lie to you, would you consider that honor? If I were to lie to you, would you consider that I was honoring you? Of course not. But can I tell you that not telling you the truth is lying? Can I tell you that even not telling you the truth because I'm afraid that if I tell you the truth, it's going to hurt you, and so I think that I'm protecting you by not telling you the truth, and I'm loving you by not hurting you, even then, I'm lying? In fact, not telling you the truth because I'm afraid it might hurt you to hear the truth, and that you might get angry, you might pull away from me, you might even break relationship with me, can I say to you, that's still lying. Lying to one another is dishonoring at every level. Let me tell you the given. When you are in relationship with people, you are going to get hurt. That's the given. When you are in relationship with people, you are going to get hurt. The only question is, when you get hurt, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? There's not one of us in this place, in this audience, there's not one of us who has not been hurt by a parent. We all have. That's the given. And there's not one of us who are parents who has not hurt our children. We've all done that. That's the given. The only question is, when I do it, how am I going to handle it? When it happens to you, how are you going to go handle it? I want to tell you what often happens. And again, I wish it didn't happen in the church, but it does as often as in the world. When something happens and we get hurt, what do? We go out there and we tell everyone else about how terrible that person is. We don't go to the person who hurt us, but we go and we tell everybody else, whether it's our mother or daughter or son or the boss or the pastor. If the pastor hurts you, we go out there and find an audience and tell them how terrible the pastor is. Can I ask you a question? When we do that, is that honoring? If you hurt me and I went and talked to someone else, is that me honoring you? Let me tell you what's honoring. When someone hurts me, I say nothing to anyone else. But I go directly to that person. And if you know me, you know that I don't wait long. If I'm not coming to you, you know that I'm good. But if something is not right, I'm coming to you because I'm not going there, and I'm not going there, and I'm not going there. But I'm coming to you because honoring is speaking the truth to you in love. Can I tell you honestly? When my wife comes to me with a hurt, and if I were to say to you, I have never hurt my wife, that would be a lie. I could tell you my heart has been to never hurt my wife. That is true. But the reality is, in relationship, I have done things that have hurt my spouse. So have you. But when my wife comes to me, I don't like hearing it. Honestly, my flesh doesn't like hearing it. But I'll tell you, I am honored by the fact that she chooses to come to me and not to everyone else out there. What it tells me is that she wants our relationship to be good. What it tells me is she wants the hurt to be removed. What it tells me is she cares enough about me to be truthful to me, even if it hurts, because that truth in love will bring healing and make us stronger. I want to tell you, when my wife comes to me with a hurt, she wants this relationship. She wants it healthy. It's a statement she loves me. That's why she's coming to me and not going to you. I respect that about my spouse. There has never been a time in my life where I have had my spouse go and rip me apart in the lives of other people. That is honoring. Even when I have hurt her, that is honoring. Hate would go out there and tell everyone else how terrible he is. Family of God, I want to tell you, we have been affected by this world. Talking to people we should never be talking to. And not talking to the people that we should be talking to. If I want to honor my mother, and my mother does something to hurt me, guess where I go? I go to my mom. I speak the truth in love. And I allow that to be healed. That is a statement of honor. I have done that with my mom. My mom has done that with me. That is why we have the relationship we do today. That's honoring. Some of you have issues with your mom and you've talked to everyone else about it, but you have not talked to your mother in love. Honor her. Can I say this to you, parents? You cannot be a parent and have had not your children wound you. Can I say to you, if you want to honor your child, go to your child. Go to them in love. Tell them of the hurt. Let them know you care enough to work on this relationship. Let them know you're not talking to anybody else about them. Let them know you're not lying to them by pretending everything is good when you're carrying a wound and it's not good. Some of you parents need to go to your children. You need to honor them by being truthful in love. Would you write down number 4? Listen to their hearts. Listen to their hearts. James 1:19 says this, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." I want to tell you that I am honored when you choose to listen to me. I am honored. It is honoring to listen to people. It is dishonoring when you won't give people the time of day, when you go, "I don't care what you have to say. I have no time for you. I don't want to hear your story." I'll tell you, there are many parents out there today who are experiencing dishonor from their children because their children do not have the time. They do not make the time. It is not a priority to be with their parents and to honor them by listening. A number of years ago, H.B. London, James Dobson's cousin who is responsible for the ministry pastor to pastor, he talked about what's called the ministry of presence. He said sometimes the most powerful thing we can do in the lives of people is just to go and be in their presence and allow them to talk, to be there and to listen. I want to tell you, we live in a day where people will spend $100, $300, $500 an hour just so that someone will listen to them. Body of Christ, we honor one another when we take the time. I want you to think back to when you were a little child. For those of you raised in church, for those of you outside the church, I want you to think about when you were a child. Who were the adults in your world who stopped what they were doing, got down on their knee, asked you a question, listened to your stories, listened about the bugs, listened to the scrape on your knee? Those who listened to you, can I ask you, when you had that, did you feel honored? I want you to think about how many children never had that. They didn't have it with their parents. They didn't have it with their pastor. They didn't have it with their parents' friends. They didn't have it with their teachers. They didn't have it with any other adults. They certainly didn't have it with their peers. We are called to honor one another by listening. I encourage you. The word margins, would you write it down? The word margins. What that means is you are making time in your day. Getting off of the treadmill of the world that keeps you so busy, you don't have time for people in the grocery store. You don't have time for the person on the street. You don't have time to phone someone in the evening when the Holy Spirit lays them on your heart. You don't have time. Can I encourage you to set margins to go, "Holy Spirit, when you want me to honor someone by standing and listening, honor someone by phoning and asking a question, how are you? I've got time." Some of us need to change the drummer who is driving the beat of our life. Slow it down. Put in margins. Talk less. Listen more. From children all the way to seniors, we are honored when people listen. Number five. And this one I ask, Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom and understanding. My prayer is you will grasp it. Would you write this down? Do what's right. Do what's right, even when parents' model and counsel is wrong. Do what's right, even when teachers' counsel and model is wrong. Do what's right, even when your boss's counsel and model is wrong. Do what's right, even when the politician's counsel and model is wrong. Do what's right. I want to tell you a stronghold that needs to be broken. There are many people who believe that to honor their parents is to do what their parents say. Even if it's wrong, you do it because they said it, they're your parent, you honor them, and so you do it. That somehow to not do what they say is dishonoring. Can I ask you a question? In the Garden of Eden, when Eve brought the fruit to Adam and said, Adam, I'd like you to eat this so we can do this together. When Adam chose to take the fruit and bite it, can I ask you, was he honoring Eve or was he dishonoring Eve? Adam doing what his wife wanted him to do was dishonor. He joined her in her death. Instead of thinking beyond, instead of thinking to her best, instead of thinking to her eternity, he thought of the now. When he bit, he dishonored. Can I ask you? When Abraham took Hagar because Sarah wanted a child, she wasn't willing to wait for God's promise. Was Abraham honoring Sarah or dishonoring Sarah? Can I tell you the dishonor? His doing what Sarah wanted him to do led to her hurt, led to rejection, led to brokenness, led to what the world has today. You honor a person when you do what is right, even when they ask you to do what is wrong. You honor when you put God first, when they're asking you to put themselves first. Because ultimately, it's about their salvation. It's about their being right with God. It's about their eternity. It's not about the immediate. It's about the long term. That is why to truly honor means that you put God first. And when you put God first, then you live with His blessing. Then the promise of long life comes. I want to say to you, the counsel that many of us got from our parents was not healthy counsel. To do what they would have said would have led to the unhealth in our life. Can I tell you as a parent, I do not want my child to follow in my unhealth. I want them to do what's right, even when all I give them is what is wrong. I want them to honor God before they honor me. That is for my best. The belief that to honor them is to do what they say is a false stronghold. To honor them is to put God first. I wish we had more time to talk about that. culture of honor. Culture of honor. This is Mother's Day today. Today, honestly, there are some of us who we're excited about mom and we want to talk and we want to spend time and we want to phone and we want to do what we can today. There are other views going, do I really have to phone her? Do I really have to spend time with her? It would be just easier if this day disappeared. I understand that. When you are in relationship with people, there's going to be hurt. That's the given. It's what you do with the hurt. The Bible calls you and I as believers, not just today, but every day, to honor. I want to just say one last thing. Romans 12:10, would you write that down? This is a crazy verse. It says, honor one another above yourself. Honor one another above yourself. Somehow it seems contradictory to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's like the way I love me is the way I will love them. Paul is saying honor others above yourself. Can I just tell you how that works? This is it. The Bible says that you and I are not to speak well of ourselves, not to boast about ourselves, not put ourselves out there, not build ourselves up with our words. We're not to do that. We're to let other people do that. But to honor you above me means I'm not going to elevate myself, but I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to speak about your good. I'm going to speak about your character. I'm going to speak about your blessing. I'm going to lift you up and lift you up and lift you up with my words in a way that I will not do about myself. That is honoring one another before me, above me. Can I ask you? Would you be found guilty? I'll tell you honestly, it takes about 3 minutes. When you talk to someone and you listen, to find out how quickly they either, it's all about them, all about their stories, all about their background, all about their opinion, all about what's important to them. 3 minutes, it reveals whether it's all about them or they're making it about you. Let me tell you the person I want to be. I got to say I'm thankful to be in a church family that holds people accountable for what they say. I don't recommend this everywhere, but I have asked people in our church that if I were to say something that is not correct, I invite them to stand. I want to know it. In a circle of believers in our church, when they hear something come out of my mouth that is not what should be, for them to go, do you want me to agree with that confession? Holding one another accountable for what comes out of our mouth. I'm so thankful that when we sit in a circle of men and one man begins to speak something that is not life, but it is death, other men will go, whoa, we got to change that here. Sandpaper, steel, that makes us better people. Can I invite you to give people in your world permission to listen to how you speak, to listen to what comes out of your mouth, to listen to whether you are honoring or dishonoring, and give them permission to come and go, can I just bring to your attention? When you spoke about that person, that was not honor. God, forgive me. When you were speaking, you were making it all about yourself. Oh, God, forgive me. That is not honoring. When someone comes to you and they're talking to you about someone else, you look at them and go, This is not honoring. If you were talking about me to someone else, that would not be honoring to me. I don't want you to talk to me. You go talk to them in love. That is honoring. Can I tell you? That's the accountability we need. That's the accountability I need. That's the accountability you need. Can I ask you one question? Was it God who gave the Israelites the promise, you live a life of honor, and I will give you long life? I will allow you to enjoy the land that I've given you. I will allow you to enjoy what is passed down from generation to generation. Was that God's heart for you and I? Can I tell you, the moment we connect honoring with long life and blessing, the moment we connect dishonor with shortened of life and curse, things will change. And can I tell you this? It is not hard to be a witness in these days. When you go into every environment and people open their mouth, the dishonoring is the given. When you and I open our mouth and instead of the same crap coming out of it, all of a sudden comes honoring, all of a sudden comes building up, all of a sudden comes blessing. Can I tell you, it is like a lightning bolt in the midst of that sewage. That's what the world needs. That's what the unbeliever needs. That's what the carnal Christian needs. Holy Spirit, bridle my tongue. Let me speak only what I hear the Father speak. And I guarantee you, every word will be honoring. I challenge you today. Today's training day. Today's practice day. Today we have opportunity to practice on the most forgiving person in our world, and that's our moms. Honor. Practice today and live it tomorrow. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to say thank you today that you have pulled back the veil of our minds and our eyes, and you have given us a revelation of what it means in this day to be a person of honor. I want to thank you that you have given us a revelation of the power of the spoken word. I want to thank you, Father, that you have given us your Spirit to bridle our tongue. Your word says if we can control the tongue, we can control our entire body. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite you to possess our mind and possess our tongues. That every word we speak would be a word of honor. And as a result, we would be the recipient of the promise, long life, and enjoying the blessing. Again today, I release blessing over every mother represented. I ask today, Father, that they would experience an honoring that comes from their children, an honoring from the grandchildren, an honoring from their spouses, but most of all, an honoring from you. Let them hear your words. And let them be blessed today. I declare to you what you already know. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and fill you with his peace. And a desire to honor. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you again for joining us today. God bless you richly. Moms, have a blessed Mother's Day. God bless you.